Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and we do with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Well, folks, I don't know if you have seen the recent article from USA Today, but it's entitled, How Much Does Your Spouse Make? Many don't have a clue. And here's what the research said. It said a study by Fidelity Investments found 72% of the couples surveyed believe they communicate very well, even exceptionally. But 4 in 10 of the pairs didn't know how much their partner earned. This miscommunication didn't stop there. And here's the deal. This whole entire article is about all the things that these couples did not know about each other, but they think that they're communicating well. And folks, the only way I know how to address this is you're probably not communicating enough. You can't over-communicate, especially with how busy we are in this culture. Man, the best thing that you can do for your marriage is put together a financial date night. Like in the near future, where you sit down and you talk about everything. I say this a lot on here. Timing is everything. Make sure that you don't have a bunch of kids all around your ankles asking you for stuff. Make sure that it wasn't a super crazy day. You don't have any big burdens. But just make sure the timing is right. You're both in a collaborative mood. Neither one of you are in an accusatory mood. That you both are thinking about long-term goals and short-term goals, and you're both motivated. Just make sure the timing is right. And then break down, what are our goals again? The short-term goals, the long-term goals, and what kind of assets do we have out there? What kind of statements do we have? What kind of policies do we have? What is our outstanding debt? What is our current retirement? Let's do a credit check together. Let's make sure we share all the passwords. And you are probably not communicating enough. Get it all out on the table. You want to even look at each other's offer letters. At your work, in any kind of raise documents. You want to get everything out in the open and do it. If you do this proactively, then it doesn't feel accusatory. It doesn't feel like it's you're digging something up. But you both agreed, hey, listen, next Friday, hey, let's get on the same page. Let's dream together. Let's bring everything to the table. And if you can do it proactively before the tension arises, that's the key. Because you're going to talk about finances. You are. It's going to happen. And we can either talk about finances proactively or we can talk about finances reactively. And I'm telling you, a proactive conversation about finances is way better than the alternative. The reactive stuff, well, there's a lot of tension, a lot of conflict, even a lot of breakups, a lot of divorces. The number one cause of divorce in America, money fights and money problems. And so hear this. If you don't hear anything on this podcast, you don't hear anything on this radio show, hear this. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to the next generation to sit down with your spouse in the very near future and over-communicate. Goals, dreams, visions, policies, accounts, statements, get it all out there. So that you know that you know that you know you're on the same page. Folks, what I'm reading here in this USA Today article is absolutely tragic. The problem here is not financial. This is not a financial problem. This is a trust issue. This is a communication issue. And as we know, relationships are built on trust. And in these relationships, there's obviously a breach in trust. And when you have a breach in trust, it's going to cause a lot of tension in your relationship. You've got one person that's rowing one direction and another person who's rowing another direction. And it is impossible to reach your goals when you're rowing two different directions. Guys, we've got this. Remember, the number one challenge on this show today is to, in the near future, very near future, sit down with your spouse and get everything out in the open. Now, folks, we're going to go to the lines. We've got our first caller on the phone, and the call comes in from Portland, Oregon. Julie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Wonderful. So let me tell you about our situation. My husband works full-time at a job with an unpredictable schedule from week to week.
Okay.
I'm currently looking for work in order to even start trying to build our snowball. We're on step number one. So in order to even try to build our snowball through the Dave Ramsey program, we've had to take our son out of daycare. We're in Oregon, and Oregon has, it's one of the top five states with the highest child care expenses. And we don't have family to help with our son. My husband and I have gone round and round on whether or not I should take a few jobs in hopes that they'll cover daycare costs and give us some extra income, or if I should just wait for the one good job. I'm currently faithfully applying to jobs, just playing the waiting game for something to stick. Do you have any ideas of what I could do to bring in some income on the side, since my hands are kind of tied while I'm keeping my son at home with me?
What do you make currently? What's your household income?
About $90,000.
Okay. Do you think you have enough money?
Yeah, I think that we do. Well, God blessed us so that we were able to buy a home and we can support ourselves on just my husband's paycheck, but we want to be more comfortable. We've got tons of medical expenses. We're going to be hit with student loan debt. You know, we haven't been the greatest stewards of our debt, and we want to get more responsible with that. But I think that even on my husband's income, if we could just get a hold of our debt, we would be comfortable.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get your perspective on that. I think sometimes asking ourselves that question, we can find out a lot about our view of money and view of life by our answer.
Yeah.
The average income there in Portland and the Portland area, greater area, is $60,000, and you're making $90,000.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to make sure that that you knew that God is blessing you above the average.
Yeah.
I think it's important that you have a spirit of gratitude before you go any further. I would not take a job in your scenario. I would try to find revenue streams that you can do from home. So whether it's over the phone, over the computer, maybe it's project-based or results-based where you're not having to go into the office, not having to clock in and clock out. I would not leave the home in this scenario where you guys are at with that unpredictable schedule. That's the big variable. But I also would try to get your husband to a point, I'd challenge your husband's supervisor to get to the point where there's at least rhythmic. The travel's okay, but a lack of rhythm is not good for your family. So even if it's unpredictable for small seasons, that's still fine. As long as you look at your quarter and you look at your year and you have a rhythmic life, I would recommend that. But if there's no rhythm in your life, then I would strongly encourage you, first of all, challenging the employer.
Yeah.
And secondly, maybe looking into a different industry.
This might be the best rhythm that we have. He's
good.
In the healthcare industry.
Okay.
So he's gotten off of nights, which is amazing.
Good.
So I think on that end, he's done as much as he can do for the time being.
Okay. Well, another option too is to you guys put your heads together, and how could he do quarter time something to open up another revenue stream that he's responsible for, and you just give more support at home? So my nutshell answer is I wouldn't take on any more work for you outside the home. I would remove that pressure during this season. Nothing wrong with women working outside the home at all. My wife serves at a very high capacity in her church as an executive leader. So I love it. But I would encourage you and all women to read Proverbs 31. How many things are there in those 21 verses from verse 10 to verse 31? How many things that are in there that talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, which is like the model, that don't have anything to do with generating income, but they're hugely huge contributors to the household. Tons of things in there. Actually gives you some really good ideas of what you can do to create value in the home. So maybe it's cutting grocery costs. Maybe it's getting creative with some different things you can do with Dave Ramsey talks about the beans and rice, making that, you can do that creatively. Well, that takes some research. There's a lot of things you can do, where you can shop for clothing. You can actually make your family more money by decreasing expenses, and you never leave the home, and you never leave that precious child. So I would encourage you to read that. Again, it's Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. It's actually 21 verses, and that'll really help you. And I just want to remind all women, whether you work outside the home or work inside the home, there's two different models out there. Either way, you are extremely valuable. And what you can contribute to the home has nothing to do in whether you drive out of that driveway. All right, Julie?
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much.
This email comes to us from Tracy. My husband and I own our own business, which is our only source of income. We have credit card debt on both personal accounts and business accounts. Is it better to increase our income to pay off personal debt first or lower our income to pay off business debt first? Both. The answer is both. It's to get out of debt as soon as possible. So stewardship, going back to the name of the show, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. It would tell us, the stewardship tells us that we need to make sure that we take care of our four walls, which is our shelter, our basic necessities of shelter, food, clothing, and transportation, the basic necessities. And, you know, the Bible tells us to tithe. So take care of your four walls and tithe and get out of debt as soon as possible. So the answer is not either or. The answer is both. Put them in a debt snowball, both of them, and attack them both. Two individual debt snowballs. And again, folks, a debt snowball is listing out your debts, smallest to biggest, regardless of interest rates, and paying off your smallest debt amount first and applying that payment amount towards your next smallest debt and keep going through them until all your debt is gone. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Up next is Randy calling in from Las Vegas, Nevada. Randy, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. How can I help you today?
My mother owns two houses. One she lives in, the other is a rental. She only has two children, me and my brother. I am a joint owner with one of her houses, and my brother is a joint owner on the other house. And she just assumed that after her demise that I would inherit the one and my brother would inherit the other. And it's now worth about $100,000. So after she passes, if I sell it, I'd have to pay capital gains on like $87,000.
Yes, sir. Somehow, if you can get off the ownership somehow, and have it requested in the will that you receive it upon death, then you avoid it. Are they free and clear, the homes?
Yes, both homes are paid for.
Okay. Yeah, so you'd be a joint tenant or a joint owner.
Yes.
Yeah, in that scenario, that's what would happen.
Yeah, to get my name off of the ownership, would I need to contact my accountant or a real estate attorney? Or
yeah, like an estate attorney, for sure. Yeah, and get on the will that you'd receive it upon death, and then you avoid that.
Okay. We bought this will maker from Quicken, and we actually made her up a little will.
Okay.
Is that legal, or do I need to have that recorded, or do I need to go through an attorney on something like that?
No, the will process is pretty simple. It actually can be done online.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be, and you know, I would get a notary, you know, to make sure it's all notarized and official, but it doesn't have to be a big expensive process. Now, if you wanted to go down to an attorney's office and pay $200 for their time just to feel better about it, it might be worth it.
I wouldn't feel better about paying $200 an hour, no.
Just make sure you know that the wills are state specific. So if you do something online, you want to make sure they're familiar with the state, with this, you know, the way states work and the wording and all that stuff. So,
okay.
Which it's available. It's out there that, you know, that they can make, you know, they specialize in certain states and all that kind of stuff, but they are very state specific. So,
okay. So just make sure, after I'm taken off of the ownership, just make sure that it's specified in the will. Is there any special verbiage that I need to worry about, or just I would inherit the house after her death or something?
Yeah, and that's that's all attorney jargon, and that's actually, if you do it online or if you go into attorney's office, they can take care of all the verbiage. They make sure it's all official.
Well, thank you very much, man. God bless you for your work, and I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question. Have a great day. Thank you.
Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy to follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class, as a home study, or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com, or you can call us at 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, I got an email here from Alma, and I believe it's an email that many of you would probably write in word for word. Here's what it says. It says, "Help! I struggle to cheerfully tithe when we have high expenses, such as Bible summer camp for high school that cost $400. We budget every dollar, so when items that we did not include in the budget come up with a due date prior to next month's budget, are we to take it out of the emergency fund in order to still tithe? I can say no to almost anything except Bible summer camp is a must. Also, our older son is going to be a senior in high school. Lots of stuff to pay for and cannot afford it with our income. Our tithe is included in our budget, but at times I tell myself I can use that to pay for senior expenses." She's got a little sad face there. "We do tithe, but I feel it's not cheerfully. I'm looking for an opinion or thoughts, please. Thank you in advance." What a struggle that many of us have, right? Here's what could help. Tithe comes first. It's a first fruits thing. So it's not even an option. It's not even on the table. It's already done. It's already gone. So if you're going to pay for summer camp, or if you're going to pay for activities in high school, it's got to come from somewhere else. And when I've dealt with thousands and thousands of people throughout the years, and so has our customer care department, we have always been able to see somewhere else in the budget that can be cut, not the tithe. Now, this is not a legalistic thing. This is really understanding stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. And one of the foundational ways to manage God's blessings, God's way for His glory, well, is to return back to Him, 10% back directly back to Him. We've got to understand that that summer camp is even available because of Him. The fact that those high school activities are available because of Him, that the child has even been able to get to high school is because of Him, because he's got clothes to wear to high school is because of Him, because there's actually something to be taught at Bible summer camp. It's teaching about Him. It's all because of Him. And if we're going to actually cut out the 10% of our budget that goes back to the one who's allowed us the opportunity to do any of this stuff, well, that's crazy. Now, the Bible is clear about doing it cheerfully. So foundationally, you've got to remember that giving is for us. It's not for others. It's not for the church. It's for you. God wants us to give for us so that we have the right spirit, a generous spirit. We're living on this earth for others. We're living on this earth for His glory, and His glory, part of that, is loving on others. It's not for us. And I'm telling you, if you cut that tithe and stop doing that tithe, you're going to be miserable, especially somebody who has tithed for a long time. You won't even be able to handle it. The Spirit will convict you like crazy, and you'll lose all your peace. So if you do that 1 month, I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. God is blessing you tremendously because of that obedience. Again, it's not legalism. It's just because you're in tune with the Spirit. You're under the umbrella of obedience and umbrella of protection, and He's got His hand on you. I've got faith that you can cut somewhere else and make those things happen. Now, your part B question, if there's something that you did not budget for and it comes up in a given month, then yeah, it's okay to pull from the emergency fund. Just put it right back. That's fine. But as you get better and better at budgeting, those kind of things pop up less and less. Well, on the phone, we have Jacob. He's calling in from Arlington, Texas. Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How about yourself?
Blessed beyond belief. How can I help you?
All right, Chris, I got a question for you. So I'm currently a student, and I am about to graduate in the summer. After I graduate, I'm going to go and be an officer in the Air Force. But I've obviously accumulated some debt over the years, and about $40,000 in student loans. Now, you know, going in, getting a new job and everything like that, should I be focused more on paying off that student debt and not really focused on paying anything, for my retirement? Or how do I, like, you know, separate those? And if I am supposed to invest into retirement, what would you say are my best options?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me tell you congratulations.
Thank you.
For finishing school coming up. Where are you studying at?
I'm studying mechanical engineering.
Thank you in advance for your service in the military. That's awesome, too.
Yes, sir. It's my honor.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. I think most listeners want to hear this. What has this process looked like for you? What's your biggest motivator going into the service? I always want to ask folks that. You're about to enlist. You know exactly, you know, what you're doing, but you're motivated to do it. And I'd love to hear your answer.
I mean, yeah, I definitely have a deep respect for this country, and I definitely want to protect, you know, myself and my family. I feel like, you know, honestly, I wasn't sure at first. I did ROTC because it was kind of one of those things that I could just kind of try out for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I got into it, the more I felt like it really fit, you know, fit with me and kind of who I am. And honestly, I love flying and I want to fly jets. That's actually what I'm going to go off to is in Oklahoma, Advanced Air Force Base and fly jets. And so that's pretty much my major motivation are those different things.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's great. There's an incredible church out there in Oklahoma called Life Church. They're pretty much on every corner in all of Oklahoma. You want to check them out. They're really, really cool. Here's what you need to do. Pay off the debt first. There's your quick answer. The one thing that's going to be hurting you is you're not going to be getting compound interest. So you have to think through opportunity costs. When you're paying off that debt, every day that goes by that you have that debt, you're not getting the 20, 30, 40, 50 year. How old are you?
I am 26.
Yeah, you're not getting that 40-year return on compound interest, so it's killing you.
Right.
So you need to get as mad at that debt as possible. And you're in a phase of life right now mm-hmm. where you can attack that thing like crazy. You're not married with kids, right?
Nope.
Yeah, so this is one of those times where you're putting like 50% of your income towards this thing, maybe even 75% of your income because you're living on base or something. So I would throw it out as fast as possible. Then you start thinking about savings, not retirement.
Okay.
Debt first. Then 3 months of savings to make sure you never go back in debt again. And that's kind of your insurance policy. You want to have 3 to 6 months saved and in a liquid or very accessible money market account. Then start thinking about retirement. But you want to stay out of debt. That's the key. And you've got a lot of time in your hands, but don't wait till you're 35 to start retirement. You got to knock this debt out of your life. 40K. My goal for you would be 40K in under 3 years. And if you're really amazing, it'd be under 2 years, which I think you're pretty amazing, so you can do it.
Right. Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, okay, now that makes sense. So don't worry about retirement until I get that debt paid off and then start investing into that.
Yep, and here's the deal. That you can have the willpower to do that, but unless you have a plan to avoid the impulsive bad decisions, everyone around you on that base is going to have – they're going to be involved in bad decision-making as far as they're going to go out and buy really nice cars.
Right.
They're gonna do that. So you've got to have a plan to avoid that. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything except to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I told you there was a tool – that was out there that has helped over 4 million people have an over $19 billion turnaround in their finances. Would you be interested?
Definitely.
Okay. Now, what if I told you I wanted to give you this free resource, Financial Peace University, for free for your service? Would that interest you?
Yeah, it would a lot.
All right. Will you go to the class?
Yeah.
Yes, you would, right?
Okay.
You've got a lot of accountability here. You got lots and lots of people that heard you say you'd go. So I'm giving it to you for free. And thank you for your service. Stay on the line. And Amanda, our call screener, is going to hook you up. Thank you for your service. And thank you for the call.
Cool.
Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by talking to your friends and family, asking them to listen to the show. Number two, check out stewardship.com. Thank you so much for helping us spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, Let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way and for God's glory. God bless you.